couldn't kick this cold or flu or whatever it is I've got, so my lovely wife just took it away from me. Not only that, she got laryngitis with it, so count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Is this on? I'm sorry. If y'all could just see the look on her face. She wasn't impressed with that. Well, we probably don't want to hear that, do we? Well, today we've talked about some things that we know in the Bible, things that God tells us and He gives us through His Word. And the rapture is one of them that is a real happening. I recall this week of me driving by, and before all the rains really broke loose and began to come down, I just saw kind of a real bright little cloud back up in the sky, and I thought, wow, is that the cloud He's coming back on? I mean, do y'all do that? I do that every now and then, look up and see that, and I'm waiting on His imminent return. He's coming back. The reason I know He's coming back is because He said He's coming back. We have a term that we use called the rapture, and it's not in the Bible anywhere, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, if you'll turn there with me. Verse 17, we have the terminology, says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." That term "caught up" is where we get our word rapture. And it means literally to snatch away. And that's the event that we're waiting on right now. That's the next big event that I think is going to happen in mankind. And we'll kind of build up to that point. But it's a known that we've been given through the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica. He wrote to them. They was concerned about their loved ones dying, and Paul even thought at his time that they'd be raptured out. So we get this event that's going to take place, and Paul explains how it happens and how it's going to happen and what we are to look for and just how it's all going to come about. So after we pray, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Father, I thank You again for this day. Lord, I thank You for the rain, Lord, that You've sent our way. Lord, that Lord, You've blessed us with that. Lord, that it continues things in its cycle. And Father, we praise You for that. Lord, I thank You for these who've come out in the rain, Lord, to praise You for bringing us the rain. Lord, be with those who are out and traveling around. Lord, give them traveling mercies as they return back to us. Father, be with each one of these who've been, their name's been lifted up to You, Lord, these needs, and Lord, these physical needs, Lord, as well as the spiritual needs. Father, be with us now. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit be among us, Lord, that we would understand and teach, and Father, that we would, Lord, that we would leave here with a zeal, Lord, for You and to learn more about You. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So here Paul talks about in chapter 4, he starts out in verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope." You know, as I started studying this, every time you think about it, it comes up to funerals. And I know y'all been to both kinds of funerals. You know, there's two kinds. There's the saved funerals where you know that, man, it's a glorious event. And then there's those other funerals where you just don't know about it. I had a neighbor of ours pass away several years ago, and they asked me to preach at his funeral. And I had went to the nursing home where he was at, and I preached to him for an hour and 45 minutes, Jesus Christ. Buried dead, dead, buried, and risen. And he never accepted. And they asked for me to preach at his funeral. And I said, I don't know what to say. The man had no hope. what do you say? You know, you comfort those that are there and tell them about that glorious hope. But without Christ, you're hopeless. Death is the final end. Then there's that eternal damnation. But we have no hope short of Jesus Christ. Death becomes a hopeless tragedy. Paul says that death is the last enemy. He tells us that the last enemy we'll face is death. One day Jesus Christ is going to do away with death too. That there'll be no more dying. You know, something I didn't think about the other day, I thought about it when last week's lesson. You know, it's appointed once for man to die because of the fall of Adam. But you know, that curse was upon the animals too. You know, the animals now have to die. And at one time, there was no death. But the body is what goes to sleep. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11, we see where Lazarus. John chapter 11 and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with an ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters went unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still there in the same place where he was. Then after that said the disciples, let us go, said he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. The disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Thou goest thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if man walketh in night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And the disciples, then said to his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of him taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So we see that the body goes to sleep, or in a comatose state, if you will, because if we're alive in Christ, that body's going to be alive again. Jesus said he just sleeps, but understand he's dead, but the soul never sleeps. The soul is alive all the time. The soul never dies. So Paul, back to 1 Thessalonians, is going to explain that there's going to be a joining together of that again. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says in verse 14, he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's that sleep again. It's what we believe to be dead. But he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So those who believe in Jesus Christ are just asleep, figuratively speaking. God's going to bring them back with him when he returns out of this sleep state and reunite their bodies. That word in verse 14 there says, for if we believe, it could be rendered since we believe. Since we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There's more evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than when Julius Caesar conquered Great Britain. That's astounding to me. I mean, the events that we know that took place, yet there's more evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. More evidence. It's the only thing of our doctrine that's never been disputed. As far as mankind, they've disputed it, but they can't refute it. You know, it's just like when the apostles brought that man back from the dead. He said, they can refute everything we've done, but they can't deal with that. There he stands. There he is right there. Paul said that this thing was not done in a corner. I mean, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He appeared to hundreds of people. There was quite a stir in the city of Jerusalem. The graves opened up and people walked down the street. You think that didn't make the headline news? You think they didn't say, hey, something's going on here. Maybe we've messed up. You know, we've crucified the Lord and Savior. But that word if means since we believe that Jesus died and rose again. I believe that. I hope everyone in this room believes that. I believe because He makes me believe. I don't have to see any evidence of it. I believe one day that they'll be allowed to uncover Noah's Ark. I don't need that evidence. I believe it's there. I believe it was foretold in the first part of the Bible. I think probably during the tribulation period they'll be able to uncover the Noah's Ark and say, wow, if the first part of it's true, what does that do for the rest of it? But I don't have to see that. I don't have to see it at all. I believe wholeheartedly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. I don't have to have anything other than God's Word. I asked my wife this morning, I think she's probably one of the smartest people I know. I asked her what E equals MC squared. Anybody? I knew Phil would know. Anybody? Come on, raise your hand if you have it. One, two. Oh, very good. You're lying. E equals MC squared. You got it? Huh? It's Einstein's theory of relativity. Okay? Now everybody with me? Has anybody tried that? Why do we believe that? Because some man told us that, right? Make sense? I mean, we will take what a man says and say, well, that must be it. But we don't have any evidence of that, do we? We just say, you know, we've got a lot of people in the medical field in here. You know, they just give us some pills and we take them, hoping that they know what they're doing, right? No slam on y'all. No slam on y'all. I'm just saying, we take them and say, well, they must know. So you know, mankind understands this, so we'll do it. Well, I thought about this week. Here in just a little bit, we'll all go out to lunch. Anybody ever think about that? Who's preparing your... Man, Brother Crawford will stand up here and talk about eating. I'll tell you, man, you know who they hire? yeah, come on. And we just, with blind attributes, go in there and say, feed me. You know, give me whatever's back there behind that door we don't see. Supposedly, we've got people in place to have check systems where we don't get sick, right? Everybody going home for lunch now? Okay. But look at verse 15. For this we say unto you, by what? By the word of the Lord. We'll take mankind's word on just about anything. We went and watched a Christian comedian last night. And he was playing his guitar and singing. And he did commercials that are on TV. And then he would stop and we would all finish it. And he said, that's pitiful. He said, here... None of y'all have read your Bibles this week, but every one of you can finish these commercials. I said, whoop, that's right, that's right. But here it says, by the word of the Lord, we have the word of the Lord. 1 John 5:9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. How much greater is the witness of God? It's impossible for God to lie. Man, we have God's holy word right here that we carry around with us. We keep closed most of the time, but that we have God's word. We look into it, and it tells us the truth. This isn't what men said. This is what God said. And we need to take God's word for it. Here Paul says that we have the word of the Lord. This is going to happen. He uses the terminology in here quite a bit, and you can underline it in your Bible if you'd like. But he uses shall a lot, the word shall. He says, this is going to happen. It shall happen. He says, look there, he says, for we have by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. He says, these things are going to take place. The people were real concerned about their loved ones who had already passed away and the rapture hadn't taken place. They said, hey, you told us about this event where Jesus Christ is going to come back and take us all out of this world. Yet grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle have been passing away. What happens to them? Do they get left behind? Paul said, no, hang on. Here's how it's all going to happen. He says, those of which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 15 tells us the resurrection of Christ guarantees the resurrection of Christians. Jesus Christ was the first resurrection, and because we follow with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection, we also follow in the resurrection. It goes all together. We're guaranteed a resurrection. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. For 2,000 years now, God's been pretty well silent. There's been pestilence, there's been genocide, there's been wars, rumors of wars. There's been atrocities to mankind like we've never seen. Yet God stayed silent through this whole thing. Yet He's already spoken. He's spoken His word. He says when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. And the next time we hear from God, it's going to be a shout. It says right there that it says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There's three times that we hear the Lord in a loud voice. First time we just talked about a minute ago over there in John. Turn with me, if you will, back to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 43, we see that Jesus tells them to remove the stone. Verse 43 says, and when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44 says, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. We discussed this before. I don't know how he came forth. He's wrapped up like a mummy. I don't know if he was twinkle-toeing like Fred Flintstone. I don't know if he was doing the worm. I don't know if he was levitating and coming out. I don't know. It says he was bound hand and foot. And Jesus said, loose him. So I don't know if he just kind of came out that way, you know, in the air. I don't know. One thing he did, he that was dead came forth. And they loosed him, and he walked about, and there was that testimony again. And after that, they seek not only to kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus too. He was a walking testimony. There's people in here that are walking testimony. man, take a test and make it a testimony. Make it what look what God did for me. You know, we do visitation on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. People say, well, I want to come out, but you know, I don't know what to say. Just tell somebody what God did for you. That'll amaze most people. You know, here's where I was, and now here's where I am now. All of us have that story. You know, every one of us can say, hey, you know, you think you was somebody, and here's who I was. And Jesus changed my life into who I am now. That makes a pretty good story. You know, when you really get down to it, and, you know, I don't have the drug stories and the, you know, all those kind of deals, but man, I got stories that make a sailor blush. You know, God changed my life and put me where I am now and took me from what I was then. And all of us have that story. Jesus cried with a loud voice and the dead came forth. The next time he cried with a loud voice, look in Matthew chapter 27. Excuse me. First time he cried with a loud voice, one person came forth from the grave. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 50. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. But that's not the end of the story. Look at verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple, which was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Think they didn't say stop the presses? We got something going on here. Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice, and the graves were opened up, and the saints, says right here, were resurrected. There is a resurrection. Amen. If there's not a resurrection, the Old Testament has no bearing, because the Old Testament says that the Messiah will sit on David's throne. Jesus Christ never got close to any royalty here on earth. Without the resurrection, he can't come in the future and sit on David's throne. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They said, well, that can't be the Messiah. He died. But he rose again so that he could one day sit on David's throne to make the Old Testament work. That was a side note. But God's been silent all these years. He spoke once in grace by sending his son, and we killed him. Then he spoke again by sending his spirit, and we just ignore him. Most of the time, we just ignore the Holy Spirit. But the third time, we see here in Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians, the third time is right here. And he says that when he speaks, again, when he cries with a loud voice or shouts, it's a military command. He says in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I don't know how God's going to put together all the dust particles of those that are gone by. I don't know how he's going to take those who've been cremated and scattered over the ocean or whatever. I don't know how he's going to put all that together. It's not my business. But I promise you that happens. God will put it back together, every part of it. But then we get new bodies. We get new bodies that are uncorruptible. New bodies that don't have to have a walker or a wheelchair. new bodies that don't hurt and ache, knees that work if we need them. Amen. You know, we get new uncorruptible bodies that are engineered for eternity, that does away with this time and space and matter that we deal in now. It's a body of power. We're going to be reunited or joined together with that body. It says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. So those that were worried in Thessalonica that Paul was talking to was reassured that, hey, don't worry about them. They're going to go first. Man, that's going to be amazing to see. I don't know if it's going to be scary. You don't think it'll be scary? I think it'll be it's happening. You know? I don't know how, you know. It's like that song, you know, will I stand in silence? I don't know how I'm going to react. But one day, the graves are going to open up. And people are going to come up out of those graves. My grandfathers, my grandmothers, those that have gone on before are going to come out. And I believe we're going to see them. I believe the saved are going to see them. I believe we're going to see them reunited with their heavenly bodies, meeting Christ in the air. And then there's our hope. Then we're going up. We're going up. This world can't contain us anymore. The laws of this world can't contain us anymore. Gravity won't have any effect on us. We'll be reunited up with the Lord Himself, because He's coming down into our atmosphere to take us out. You understand that we as a body are the bride. He's coming for His bride. And His bride's going to be what He's after. He's coming back. He's not going to send somebody for His bride. He's coming back Himself. He'll come back. And a couple of examples is, one is the caterpillar. You know, the caterpillar crawls around on, 99 legs or whatever he's got, and is pretty well bound to crawling around. He makes a cocoon and he dies to that old way that he was. And when it opens up again, he has beautiful wings and has flight. That's the way we're going to be. If we go before, we'll just be basically cocooned. And then the Holy Spirit, which indwells in us, is God's Spirit. When Jesus Christ comes back down, we're going to be magnetized to Him, because we have like spirits. We're going to go to Him because of His Spirit. We have that same Spirit that He has within us. He says in verse 17, He says, "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We hear this a lot at the funerals, but I always, when I read this passage, I always think about the Verizon commercials. You know, the two guys are talking, and he says, "Well, do you have them?" And he looks around, he's got all them people. That's the way we're going to be with the Lord. Amen. Lord goes over here, we're all going to go over here. He goes over there. When He comes back to do battle on this earth, we're going to come back as spectators, but we're going to come back with Him, because we'll be with Him forever. We shall remain with the Lord. He says, "Comfort one another with these words." That's what my goal is today, is to comfort you. There's going to be a resurrection, not because men stand up here and say it, but because we have the Word of God. Amen. We have the Word of the Lord, which is true. God cannot lie. The rapture is going to take place. It's a true event. As it's been explained before, if there was mountains and valleys through time, if you look through there, you couldn't see the church age, because it was placed inside time and it's going to be raptured out. So the church has been placed in here by God, and it's going to be raptured out. And then the Jews will be dealt with again. That trumpet is going to deal with the Jews. Look in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. When I was studying this, I thought about this verse. We had this verse through Awanas for a number of years, and we recalled it this morning to where it was, and it's one that we memorized year in and year out. But Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "For by the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." That's how we live today. That's our hope. You know, our hope is all inclusive in Jesus Christ. What He did for us. Because this time on earth is very short. Very short. It seems to get shorter each year. You know, it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. But it's a short time, really. Again, we have no mindset of what eternity is. You know, we can't really grasp that without time, because we measure everything in time. But He says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And that's who He's coming back for. He wants a zealous people, of a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, and obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, no Gentile, or gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared." Man, here in just a few months, we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke tells us that it was good tidings toward men. God sent that toward mankind. We don't look back up to God. God sent it toward mankind. Look at verse 4 there. It says, "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." There it is in a nutshell. We are to we're to live soberly and righteously in this present world. He could return at any time. Day, night, morning, evening. You know, I honestly hope He returns when I'm at church, because that's when I'm at my best. You know, hope He don't come at lunch or, you know, in between church. But I hope He comes during church, because I'm in my right place and where I'm supposed to be and doing what I'm supposed to do. Hopefully I'm not absent that day. But if we live like we know He's going to return, it'll help us to live like we know He's going to return. You know, it just kind of goes hand in hand. And here, again, Paul exhorts to say, you know, we should live like we know He's going to return. If we believe that He died and rose again, then we must believe that He's going to return again. We have the Word of the Lord. It says it. But Paul here says, after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared. You know, God with grace spoke and sent His Son. And we put Him to death. Then He sent His Holy Spirit again in grace. And, you know, a lot of people ignore the Holy Spirit. We had been praying for two particular boys on Kai's football team. And I told you one of them got saved. The other one got saved Wednesday night. And of course, you know, I want to know all the details. You know, what happened? They said he bawled and squalled like a baby. Big old tough football player. And again, that's not necessarily the evidence of it, but they just said, man, he really, really, really got a hold of him. And, you know, our prayer with our family was, let's don't quit praying for him. You know, I mean, he's right there at the threshold. Let's keep praying for him. And I've remembered several of y'all's significant others or family members that I've been praying for. You know, that God would just convict their hearts. I mean, I used to pray, God save them. But without conviction, they can't be saved. So my prayer is, God, convict their hearts. Convict them that they would understand that they're lost and that there's no hope. They don't have the hope that we have. You know, you talk to them and you say, you know, you're going to go to heaven when you die. Well, I hope so. That's not the hope we have. Ours is a no-so. That's what makes ours different. You know, God sent the Savior toward man. In verse 5 there says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. God's mercy is what saved us. Just that right there makes us liable to witness to others for what God did to us. And like I say, if you think you don't have a witness, just tell them what God did for you. It's a pretty simple deal just to say, hey, you know, here's where I was at. When I died, I was going to hell. God plucked me out of those fires and saved me by His grace. No merit on my part. God did it because of His love for me. That's a pretty simple testimony, isn't it? How amazing is that, that we're saved from the pits of hell? That's pretty amazing to me. We didn't do nothing for it. It says not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives within me, which is God's Spirit. When Jesus Christ comes down, I'm going to be magnetized up to Him. That's going to be the rapture event. I'm going to be taken out of this world right behind those who have died in Christ before me. I fully believe, I'm probably younger than anybody in here, but I believe that, except maybe some of y'all, I believe that the rapture will take place in my lifetime. I just believe that. I don't know the time or the season. I just believe that. But think about it, y'all. We're a generation that may not experience death. That's amazing. Amen. Go shout it on the rooftops, man. You know, get on the glory side and get that glorious hope of the reappearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank You again for Your Word. Lord, thank You for giving us Your Word that's true. Lord, and we believe it with all of our heart. Lord, that there's not a shadow of a doubt, Lord, of Your returning, that it's imminent. Lord, we know the times and the seasons are right, but Lord, we don't know the time and the season. Lord, just help us to be ever-present minded. Lord, that You could return any day. Father, I pray that You delay just a little bit longer till our loved ones are safely in the fold. Lord, I pray conviction on their hearts, Lord, before it's eternally too late, and Lord, that they would go through any of Your wrath. Father, again, just comfort one another, Lord, with Your Word in Christ's name.